Crying babies are a school of prayer in themselves. That when a baby cries, first of all, typically, if you're like me, that baby reminds you, you weren't praying to begin with, because you're filled with rage and judgment, not attitudes that come from someone who's praying. So they convict us of where we truly are and where we aren't, not nearly as holy as we think. Second, babies teach us and inspire us because their cry for the help of their parent should be an image of our cry to God for his help. It's a perfect model of prayer, and we start there, just crying out, sometimes during Mass saying, Lord, give me patience to pray with crying babies and help me not to judge, but to love the fact that we have, you know, young kids here at the parish. Thirdly, babies do challenge us because it's hard to pray when there's noise. And it's good to come to Mass early, stay late so you can pray in the quiet, but also to know that this time is not a quiet time. And it doesn't really matter if you know what's going on up here exactly, just that you're here in your heart, in your mind, uniting your life to the sacrifice of Christ on the altar. And so they challenge us to do that amidst a bunch of noise and distractions so that when you go out in the world and it's nothing but noise and distractions, you'll be ready. You won't make this mistake of thinking that prayer only happens in the quiet. See, the babies are a school of prayer in themselves, and when a baby cries, let them remind you need to actually work to pray, to just cry out to God simply. That's a beautiful prayer. And then also let the distraction and the noise challenge you to actually work at prayer so that you do stay focused and your heart and your mind is here. Today, the readings are going to challenge us, once we've accepted the fact that we really need to work at prayer, to not expect it to be like a lot of other things we work on here on earth that sometimes are immediately gratifying, easy to measure the progress, easy to understand. Today's reading, we're given this image of the kingdom of God, first as a great cedar tree, prophesied in the Old Testament, that there'd be this tender shoot that's planted and grows into a mighty, beautiful, strong cedar. And Jesus then adds a caveat to that. He said, yeah, the kingdom of God is going to be mighty, beautiful, and strong, but it's not going to look that way. It's not going to appear in a way that we can easily relate to from our worldly mindset. He says, the cedar image is great because it teaches us that the church is beautiful, majestic, strong, but the image of a mustard shrub also helps. He says, that's the kingdom of God. On the outside, it looks kind of ugly. It's a mustard tree shrub thing was a weed back then. So he points out, it's not going to be what you expect. And we got to realize that when we enter into the battle, the struggle to pray. Because initially, it's going to be hard. And you're going to wonder, Lord, why are you letting it be so hard? Initially, it might be really confusing. Like, how do I actually quiet my soul and pray? And you don't get the answers that you want. Remember, prayer is not about changing God. It's about changing us. He knows already what's perfect. And when we ask for something, we need to admit, typically, we don't even know what we need. And so when we pray, we're challenged to really enter into a dialogue with God on his level. And it can be tough and not what we expect. We got to keep that in mind because I think a lot of us, myself included, start prayer when we're young in our faith and give up because it's not easy. It's not immediately clear that it's working. And just to give you some encouragement, I want to point out that there are a lot of studies coming out, especially in like psychology, behavioral science world, that are proving that 5 to 10 minutes of meditation each day has powerful effects on your mind and your body. You probably kind of caught wind of this. Like, meditation in a secular sense is really powerful and really like becoming popular amongst younger generations. I'm pretty sure it's people even are prescribed, like, meditate for this much time as treatments for anxiety and depression and things like that. And the evidence is overwhelming how powerful it can be. Even treating physical conditions as it helps calm your mind and your heart. Now, if secular, progressive psych world is doing a better job of praying than Catholics are. This is not good. All right? If we, who not only have like this evidence here before us in the natural plane that being quiet and attentive to our thoughts and feelings is very powerful, but we also have the spiritual reality taught to us on our faith that prayer is like the most important thing we do on earth, and still we're not doing it? Ugh, shame. Now, coming from a man who sometimes skips his prayers, I'm right there with you. It's hard. But what I want to leave you with today is we have no excuse not to be making prayer a very regular, non-negotiable part of every day of our life. Because even if we're confused about the faith side of things and we're kind of unsure about, maybe we even doubt if God exists, again, secular science is proving it's very helpful to be still for a period of time and pay attention to your thoughts and your feelings. And that's the start of prayer. Now, we go from there, and to stay there would be very foolish to think that, like, all right, secular meditation is all I need. A lot of people, sadly, even some Catholic groups, are promoting meditation and just in itself suggesting that's enough. But meditation, again, it's meant to help calm you and put you into a place of peace. But then there's nothing else. You're still there with yourself. As Catholics, Christians, we know that in that moment of peace, even using some of the same methods recommended by secular meditation practices, from there, we then invite God to communicate with us, sharing like a baby our needs, crying out to him, pondering problems we have in dialogue with him, asking for his help. It's tremendous what happens when we go from that natural place of peaceful meditation and then invite God to be a part of it. And an image that can be helpful in bridging the gap between like the science that's coming out about meditation and our faith is to think that, because they're both good, both things are good. I'm not saying meditation is bad in the secular sense, it's just insufficient. It's like getting a cigar and cutting it, sniffing it. Everyone has got to admit, cigars smell great. Even if you don't like to smoke cigars, go into a cigar lounge or a cigar like humidor, it smells amazing. It's almost like smelling coffee brewing. Yeah. And then the person just kind of sticks it in their mouth and just sucks on it. Like, Some people do this. I think it's kind of weird. They just want to hold the cigar in their mouth. It's great, but there's something great missing as well. Like until that cigar meets fire and then ignites, and you get to taste the burning tobacco leaves. And I know it sounds weird if you've never smoked a cigar, but it's amazing. And it encourages great holy discussion like last night at men's night. That's when it's fully realized and that potential hidden in the cigar is real. Now, when we pray, meditation and bringing ourselves to a point of peace each day is essential. Not that you can't pray in moments of madness throughout the day. Those are good too. But to really go deep with the Lord, we need to get to a place where we're still and quiet. And we've tried to limit the distractions. Mass should not be the only place you pray because there's going to be distractions. But when you're getting up in the morning, late at night, or throughout the day when you can break away, you go and you get to that place of peace, you calm yourself. Even the new seminarians who are in this year of spiritual formation told me it was even recommended to them that they sit straight, put their hands on their knees, and take 3 deep breaths. I'm like, I don't know, this sounds like some weird meditation stuff. But they said that they've been taught to do this secular kind of meditation practices to still their hearts, and then from there they can pray better because they're attentive. And just doing some simple breathing exercises, even though we don't want to stop there, it's very powerful in helping you. And from that point, the fire of the Holy Spirit can come in when you actually talk to the Lord and your experience is ignited. And there's something totally unimaginable beforehand that happens when we take our this natural ability to calm our hearts and minds that science is even recognizing, and then we invite God to be a part of that. So important. If you want to grow in prayer, you can't just expect it to be something you do real quick, like studying a language on Duolingo. Just 5 minutes a day is all I need to do. I can do it in my car. No, that's not how prayer works. It's not like watching a quick video or like rushing through that assignment you had in class because it's a summer class and you're not really working on it as hard as you could. You just want to get it done with. or whatever work you're doing. You can't just like sit down, do it as fast as possible, and then get. You've got to prepare yourself for it. You got to calm your heart and mind. And then you can. You don't have to spend a long time, but you do have to put the effort in bringing yourself to a place where you can pray. Put that work in. And then, from there, talk to the Lord. What's on your heart? What's bothering you? What are you excited about? Spend 5 minutes just talking to God as if you really believed he was your father and that he's listening. Think of the babies. Again, that image is so important. If a baby's confident in crying out to their parents, knowing they'll do something about it, how much more should we be? And take this week to put that into practice. If you're not, you know, if you ignored my advice last week, or maybe you weren't here, to just spend 5 minutes a day, do it again this week. Try again. Because we've got no excuse not to. We can't let liberal psychologists be better at this than us. All right? This is our thing, prayer. Every day, at least spend 5 minutes. I hope that some of you are doing more. Keep that up. But if you're not doing anything, then just, you know, spiritually slap yourself right now and ask for the grace in Mass today to make this a daily part of your life and start practicing. Again, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be what you expect, maybe. This is a real relationship you're entering into with God. It takes effort. It takes your, like, you have to put your part in before the Lord's going to come because he wants it to be free. Spend 5 minutes every day widening your heart, getting somewhere as much as you can where it's peaceful. Maybe even try the 3 deep breaths. Why not? And then imagine, if God is really my Father, what would I tell him for 5 minutes? And next week, we'll go into a little bit more depth about how we can take that initial infantile cry to God where we're just, you know, talking casually with him, maybe letting him know some needs we have, and take it deeper into a very mature relationship with God that will let his grace grow in us in a way that we can't really see and understand and take over our whole life and turn us into the saints that God's calling us to be.